The way the questions are coming out is like I'm a monk, you know? It's like I live in the mountains. I don't live in Kigali. How come?
So hi again. This is Malik Shafi. Welcome to Salon 3. As you know now, Salon 3 is a platform of conversations. Different days, different episodes, we talk about different things. And we are really still trying to figure out what format that's going to really work for you guys. Hence why some of the episodes are more raised by myself. Others, I invite people to have conversations with. But most importantly, we created this Salon 3 to be a platform of conversations, a platform of sharing knowledge and experience. Because of that, today I have a guest. His name is Fred. I will talk about who Fred is. But before I talk about who Fred is, Fred, who are you?
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. And I'm very happy to have this conversation with you, recorded. Mostly, I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm an engineer by profession, a writer, and also a businessman.
What does that mean? That's like three things, right?
Yeah.
So tell us in detail.
In details is I'm one of those people who are looking for solutions to offer to the society. So far, I've got like two solutions. One is in construction, and another one is for entertainment, helping people having the vibe.
Okay.
So far, those are two, and we are looking for more solutions to offer.
Thank you, Fred. And again, thank you very much to accept to be here. One of the things I've been thinking about a lot recently is discipline, right? So every time when we start a year, people always, there's these things of new year, new me. There is always when people are trying to think about when is the right time to create new behavior, new habits. But I've come to a realization that all of this is all about discipline, right? It's about how do you create your life discipline? How do you create patterns in your life that really helps you to grow and be a different person? So I've known Fred for many years, and I have to commend that he is one of the most disciplined person I know in my life.
Oh, really?
Right? When I'm talking about disciplined, I'm talking about three things. So I'm talking about one, having life habit that you really follow from start to end. I'm also talking about life principles, right? So, and then most of the time when we are engaging in different conversations and I try to really follow you and understand how you do things, like I always wish ritually that I wish my son should be like you, right? In terms of principles, in terms of discipline and so forth. So that's why I invited you to share with us. I remember... I know this is a very long intro, but yes. I remember the first time I started realizing your discipline, you probably cannot recall this. It was around in 2016 or 17. You used to live in Nyamirambo, Mubiryogo.
Yeah.
And I had a restaurant next to your neighborhood, I think it was like two blocks away. And then every 7 p.m., I will see you running. And I don't know if you know with your goal, you know how busy that place is, right? I'm like, how come one literally get time to run at 7 p.m. with your goal, right? In such busy environment, you still have time and then get fixed. Kavuguti. No matter what, where I am, I will still really get into this chaos and then manage actually to do my daily routine, and which is running, right? And then so forth and so forth. I will continue to give different examples. But for me, back then, that was the number one thing that sparked my brain in terms of discipline. So how do you build your life? How do you build your principles, Fred?
At first, I'm very much surprised because you have been my case study. Now I have been your case study for a very long time. Thank you very much for the compliment. And about that, the principles and the habits is... I'm just looking for a way to summarize this, but there have to be things that guide you, like a life built or a purpose-driven life, type of life. So since back then, I tried to incorporate every of that dream, which is my purpose, to be in every day and in everything I do. So to answer that, I should say that it's mainly about exercising, committing yourself in a lot of things, and having some set of principles to follow. Deep inside me, I'm a big fan for philosophy called Stoics. It teaches about life and how to stay away from unnecessary distractions. I think I should say that.
Okay. So two questions, right? So you said purpose and commitment, mm-hmm. right? So how do you create your own purpose? And what is your own, what is your purpose, by the way?
My purpose is just to be a lifelong student.
Interesting.
So whatever I do, like at this age I am, I cannot judge it. I have to judge it in my later days, maybe when I'm 80s or 90s. So everything, I just try to be guilty free. So the big day will be in the 80s.
What did you learn this week?
This week I learned how to enforce... to stay grounded. Like I'm starting developing one technique. It's from a philosopher, from a mathematician called Blaise Pascal. He said a lot of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to not sit quietly in a room alone. Yeah. So I was like, okay, so how about if I try to stay alone in my room for like 30 minutes? Shut off the lights in my office, shut off the lights, shut off everything, then I just be there with my mind. Am I afraid of my thoughts? Am I afraid of a big silence? Or I can hold it and live with that. So it's mainly that what I'm learning this week.
So my audience like really life examples. At least for the last three episodes I've shared, uh-huh. that's one of the biggest feedback I get. So I need you to really tell us, get into the details, like, what did you learn? Did you do it? What happened? What did you realize in that process?
mainly it is from something I can call grounding yourself.
Grounding
yourself. You see, in construction, there is how we ground electricity and lightning and everything. So grounding is like trying to ground yourself is in a way of, there's a lot of distractions. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things you may do which you don't even want to.
Yeah.
So how I'm doing it is, if I shut off the lights, I'm in myself. I'm with I'm alone with my thoughts. All the lights are off. There's nothing to distract me. I'm only just focused on the thoughts, like how the day went. How did I talk to Malik? How did I talk to client A, client B? Am I really doing things for a long time, or I'm just really playing myself?
Yeah. Like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So far, I'm hearing about purpose and commitment, right? And I think you are really right. So first of all, to build any discipline, any life discipline or any habit, you always need to have a purpose, right? I remember when I've been contemplating for very many times to actually start a podcast. And then one of my biggest worry was what happens if I start and we cannot continue, right? So hence we decided to, when we plan a recording, so we record many episodes so that when we are busy doing other things here at the studio, at least we have more episodes to broadcast, mm-hmm. right? Because again, I believe that when you think about what you want to share, what you want to do, as anything really, it can be something really, really simple. But the how you do it is very important, mm-hmm. right? And the commitment. So what is that one thing that you felt like you created commitment? It was really, really difficult to commit to it, but you managed to do it for a very long time.
I would answer that by using metaphors.
No, just I need metaphor. Life examples.
It is a life example.
Get back to that, I'm okay.
Yeah. I would say it is intentional solitude.
Yeah.
That is like, let's say, fasting. Mm-hmm. I operate better when I'm on an empty stomach. That is just me. If I'm on an empty stomach with a little bit of caffeine, I do a lot of things. So starting from that is, I try to, since I started it, fasting, and realized how much I can operate on an empty stomach. And then the energy and how it helped me to achieve a lot of things. For example, if it's when I wake up in the morning, back then I used to set 3 goals. I have to be tired physically. That means if I manage to go to the gym or something. I have to be emotionally tired also. That means maybe reading something or finding a solution on something, and also spiritually.
Yeah.
So like if I'm closing up my day, that's what I always look up to for.
Okay. And when did you fail on a commitment?
I would say sometimes confusion come.
Confusion.
Yes, confusion come and I started. There was a time I started confusing what I want with what is really out there. Mm-hmm. So with a little bit of confusion, you started chasing this instead of chasing that, and along the way I fell off with my discipline.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What was that confusion? Give us an example. We want to know more.
It's a little bit of personal life, and this is going to be on air. I'll be putting myself out.
It's okay. Yeah. We would love it. People would like to know. Just give us something that you can share that is maybe not too personal.
What I can say is there was a time I was living like an old man.
An old man?
Yeah. You see, for example, seeing people wearing like sized shirts. Mm. And sized jeans.
Mm.
To me, I wasn't living that way.
Yeah.
So I was simply wearing whatever is there because I was living in my mind rather than in the physical way. So my point being is when I started saying, how about if I try also this, the outside world, how is it, how is it going to work? Having a girlfriend or trying this night out, something like that. So in the aftermath, after like a while, I found that it wasn't really working for me because the approach was not the best one. I was somehow copying other people rather than having my own intentions. So that's why the whole confusion things came.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what we see outside, it's not really necessarily what we are, right?
Sure.
Because you might see someone living that particular life or having a daily routine, and then you feel like you can easily get into that routine. Well, not necessarily that doesn't work for you,
sure.
Right? So now, on your side, what did you do to find out what works for you or what is you so that you can build? And then what was the process? Yeah. Mm. So that if anyone is listening today, they can be like, okay, Fred used this type of process. I can try the same process to find myself or I can try a different process.
Mm-hmm. What I can say is there are a few techniques I used. You see, like in physics, there is something we call gravity. It is even in a natural world.
Mm.
And so gravity is so insignificant compared to other forces, but it is the biggest. It becomes bigger on a bigger object like sun, planet, star. Why? Because it relates with how much weight you have and how about me and the sun and everything. So gravity affects everything in the entire universe. It's actually the one which holds it together.
Mm-hmm.
But on a small scale, it doesn't have much meaning. My point is, I tried by saying, what is that one thing, which is like a gravity in my life? And I found out to be a choice. Like, the choice affects every aspect of my life. So by now, I may not realize it, but like in 5 years or 5 months, you can see how big it is. So I would say it is to take care of your choices mainly, so that like to finding what works for you. Second, it is how you learn. People learn differently. There are those who learn from the experience. There are those who learn from the movies and books. So to me, I was like, I don't have a lot of time to live because the average human life is like 70 or 80 or 60. So I said, how can I learn as much as I can on my age? That's through reading and talking to people. So how you learn, that was one. And also what affects your life every day about choices.
Okay. So good that you're talking about choices, because now that this is taking us to your book, mm-hmm. Mapping of Choices, right? Which again, I think the habits we live on daily basis always connect on the choice we make, right? So what does that mean? It means that I decided to be here today. I was a choice, mm-hmm. right? So now whatever happens today is the consequence of the choice I made to be here, right?
True.
In another sense is a lot of people, some people live on regret. And then on a personal note, I hate living on regret. Because usually regret is a reaction of a choice you've made, right? And you've really thought about that choice. So now if you have two choices to make, so if you go with option one, there is something there that you're definitely gonna find. So if mm-hmm. you go with option B, there is something else that you'll find on that end, right? And then for me, who really is a stronger believer of destiny, that's how I live my life. So I know that if I've chose this, then there is an end to that choice that I've chosen. So in that particular case, whatever I see there, it's going to be not a regret, it's going to be a learning, right? Mm-hmm. Good learning, something I should have done better, or I should have made a different choice. So if I connect choices to live with habit or have particular disciplines, right? So, and I know last year, you released a book, Mapping of Choices, which was a very good book, by the way.
Thank you.
And I know edition 2 is coming soon.
It's coming.
So what are the principles that we should look at when we are deciding, right, in our life? And then as to be very specific, it's not about daily decisions, right? I'm talking about long life, long-term decisions, right? Because mm-hmm. the long-term decisions are the ones that give us disciplines, are the ones
True.
That give us True. Habits.
The way to approach that question is when I wrote the book, I did not want it to sound like a research or a lecturer or a novel. I just wanted it to be a book you can talk to. In what way? For example, at where you are now, like if you stop in the now and then look back, like you freeze your time and then you're going to look back, you somehow get to know the end and the start of every choice you've been making, how you ended up doing the podcast, how you ended up doing businesses you did, and a lot of things. So in some particular way, it's like the version you are now, is it really something you want to keep going with from now to the future? So the mapping of choice idea is if you map your past, it can give you some percentage and view how you operate, because past is a very good feedback loop tool to use, seeing how you operate and your principles and everything. So now, from now on, looking ahead, can you do different, or you are happy with the way it is? So that was the main idea of the mapping of choices, with a subtitle called "The End is Always Carried from the Beginning." So if I come back to your question, is you asking me how a choice is related to everyday life?
Yes, everyday habit.
Everyday habit. I would say this. Look at in Kigali, in the roundabout, in the main roundabout, there is water being forced to make it decorative, but there is also underneath there is a big tank of water. Let's assume the big tank, it is 5 meter cube, like 5,000 liters, and the nozzles going up. Maybe there are 8 pieces.
Okay, now you start. This is when you start telling us as 5 years old. What are the nozzles?
Nozzles is the outlets
Okay.
The outlets, mm-hmm. where the water comes up with okay. pressure, shoots up. Mm-hmm. So those water from the nozzle, it is possibly the life you see for me, like the decorated Fred part of him.
Yeah.
And that is for everyone else. But deep down, there is a big fountain which contributes Fred. So that means my past is there, my mistakes are there, my errors are there. Like everything made up Fred is there. But I choose what comes up. So the part of the mapping of choices or how we can relate to daily life is if you check around me or around yourself, if a person checks themselves in the way he lives in his circle, you can tell. You're laughing. I'm going far.
It's okay. No, it's okay. Let's go.
Yeah. So I'm saying that that part of the fountain means there is a big hidden part of me, which I'm not even sure of.
Yeah.
That's why if I'm in a mess, someone can come and ask me, why did you do this? I may end up saying, I don't know, or I don't know how it happened. That means I did not understand my choices, which means I have my choices, but I don't understand my choices. So the bigger part or the big take on that is try as much as you can to understand your choices because it's what reflects in your daily life.
If Fred, you'll have to choose three things to make your habit from today until you die, what would that be and why? Is that actually a thing? Like, can you say from today I'm going to do this until I die?
That's a very big bet. So I don't even know. I don't even know whether it's possible.
What are the three things you wish to do from today until you die?
I would say, for example, the first one is being valuable to everyone around me.
And how? Anything you tell me, I need also to tell to know how. Yes.
For example, if I know you, and then we reach to the part of being friends, that means I can study you and find a way I can bring value from my end to you.
Okay.
That means if you grow from me, I will also grow. Okay. That is one way. Second, it is...
what do you get from that, Fred? Because so you are being valuable to people, right? So that means we are sucking from you.
That is one way to look at it.
What do you get in return?
That is one way to look at it. But what I intend to say is it should be a back and forth framework.
Yes.
That means I do my part, you also do your part. That means I believe in that.
So what happens if you are then valuable to me, but I'm not valuable to you?
I think it can happen, and it happens a lot of time because...
when did it happen to you? What did you do?
What I believe in is... there is nothing you can do, definitely, because you've done your best, and then you're just waiting for whatever that will come. Mm. The only thing is that's not a full-time thing to do. You have to do also other things. So my point is...
So I'm trying to poke you to give me real life examples. This is what I need. Let's get out of metaphors.
Yeah.
Yes.
What I can say is there was a time I did my part on that. That is doing the best for the people who are around me.
Yeah.
And then they may end up not doing the same. Mm. But to me, that's okay because I believe in helping people. Because when I help, also my help come. So I would say that I'm not 100% sure. I hope it works out.
But Fred, you just recently got married. Uh-huh. I think 1.5 years.
Yes.
And you are building a family, right? Mm-hmm. And hopefully sometime soon, inshallah, you'll become a dad.
Yeah.
So you cannot continue to live that life, right? So, 'cause you have a family to take care of. And you are growing as a person, right? So when do you then, what do you think should be the time when you say enough is enough? To be valuable to people when I'm receiving nothing in return?
It doesn't actually have to reach there, that part, because it comes as a tool. Let me say, if we are getting to know each other, the best I can do is be valuable to you.
Yeah.
Then when we know each other and we find that our ways are parted, there's no way to force things. So it's in that way.
Mm.
So that means instead of studying each other for by using other things. So it's like my card I offer is the best I can do in your lane. And then if there is what you can do, that's good. But I believe that's how people grow.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Second. That was still number one. Uh-huh. Number two.
The number two will be, it's in a way, how can I put it? I put it as people get busier. I think so. And it's what is there. And you started minimizing your circle or what you can do from your end. So it is in that reach that whatever stays there, it has to be valuable also to you. So in that way.
Okay. So you told me being valuable to people, mm-hmm. as like if you have to make three choices. So one is being valuable to people, so then two and three.
Yes. The second one I will do is, there is a very, you wanted a personal experience.
Yes.
There is something that happened to me. I was seeing my dad before his last days. Actually, my life changed a lot from there. So I could read his clinical conditions, and I could see how things are going. And on a timeline, you can simply just predict when to leave. So I just pictured myself sitting there, like my time will also come when I will be on that deathbed. I will have grandkids, and I will just be old. Then I was like, if I'm sitting in that spot, what are few things that I should think about and then be happy? Like, I can simply crack a smile. And one of it was living guilty-free in everyday life. That means that if I remember this day in April 2025, I would simply just say, I gave my best, and then there's nothing else I can do from that. So from that experience, what I can say is what I'm even continuing to do, it is living a guilty-free life.
How guilty-free are you today?
It's a lot of things, but as a person, I can do as much as I can. Okay. There is no percentage, I can say.
I know that's a tough question. That also goes to a different topic in terms of being perfect and unperfect.
Yeah, true.
Not perfect. But
there's no one perfect.
No one.
Yeah.
Number three.
The number three is there is one thing I hate. Just like personally, it is seeing an old man cursing or an old woman cursing.
So you hate me?
No, you are
I
not an old man.
You and I'll never stop it.
You are not an old man, and there is still a chance for you. So I believe that if someone is old, we should learn from them. We should see the ways to see many things we could not see. But technologies are changing, and someone lived in 60s and someone living now, they can barely talk about how to run things. But it's like just in my later days, you see how I project everything in my later days, because that's when I believe the ultimate judging is going to be. So I will say that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's also an interesting topic, maybe for another day.
Sure.
But also that has to be, let me pause from here. So, Fred, what do you usually do or say to yourself when you feel like a habit has kept you?
Come again?
So if you have a certain habit or disciplines that you follow, and then you wake up in the morning and realize that it's keeping you, or you are changing, what do you tell to yourself to get back to your core purpose as we started the conversation?
You know, if I can just make a joke about this one, is the way the questions are coming out is like I'm a monk, you know? It's like I live in the mountains. I don't live in Kigali. How come?
Well, you know, life is all about reflection, right? And then sometimes you don't even think about these type of things until someone is asking you the question.
It's really strange, you know?
It is. But then when you start reflecting a bit, this is also a time for reflection. So you can tell me, let me think about it.
True.
But then it helps you to actually sometimes reflect on some habits that you may have that you didn't even realize that you had.
It is, yeah, true. I'm learning a lot here. I'm getting a lot of feedbacks. So my point on that, my take on that is, at first, if a habit is slipping away, it also comes to me by evaluating why I chose that at first time, because maybe I'm even maturing and it's no longer working, and I'm evolving, so I have to find the new ways to do things, or I'm simply being weak, and I'm just losing it. So what I can say is at first, checking on my adaptability, like the flexibility. Is it really valuable to hold it, fight for, or it was really even old? Like in this new phase, you no longer need it.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to be tough on yourself. You just say, it's okay, tomorrow is another day. Maybe you are tired. Maybe you've given a lot. So you can just come back on it another time.
That's good. So what I'm hearing on that is that it's okay to change, because the world changes, people evolve. So not necessarily that whatever you used to do 5 years ago, you keep doing it. So Fred, can you please help me to reflect? Because again, when we are talking about habits and disciplines, there is the so-called things that people see, right? So they see going to the gym, you know, eating healthy, like those things that are very easy, that like portrayed as in different things. And then we actually forget about the core, right? So when I'm talking about the core is what actually makes a human. Don't know if that makes sense, right?
Okay.
Because they are very, very simple habits, very simple disciplines of, if, for example, I get in a conflict with someone, what do? Right? That's a habit, that's a discipline, if you don't change, right? Or say, I want to learn or become this particular person. So if I don't become this particular person, it means I have changed my habit around. So if we really come back to that, what are the few advice you can give people on how best to choose, right? Or to map choices on creating good habits. And I'm talking about habits, discipline in a sense of purpose and life commitment.
Mm-hmm. What I can say there is, at first I start with what you started on, by saying that change is inevitable, and change is the only constant thing, that you have to be able to be flexible on the change. So what I can say is, to those people who wants to embark on the journey of creating healthy habits and everything, is you have to see what your life revolves around, even how possibly at... A habit can be a habit. For example, I started reading and loving how to read. Now I'm an author. So that means some habits can even come out to be something valuable to put outside. Someone started out as loving to go to the gym, and at some point they started now getting some training, and they are professional trainers. So someone started using liking something, and then later on habits become something else. They can monetize it.
Yeah.
So I would say, like for me, what I did was picturing the person you want to be in some time ahead. And then you work towards that person. Like, for example, when I finished the university, I before I go to the university, I was very, very interested in academic, like chasing things, chasing these smart books.
Mm.
I mean, the smartness from the book.
Yeah.
So then later on, it was not that much attractive to me for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Then I had to change that. Then I said, okay, because I have the love for this one and I'm not going to leave it, is maybe when I'm this person, I have to have already written these books so that like I will not be the professor or something, but at least I have authored a lot of valuable books to people.
Yeah.
So that means I have a pact with myself on that part.
Okay.
So that means choosing the habit is going with what works for you and what makes you feel alive.
Okay.
And fun, and you can just live.
Interesting. So now, creating habit, being a disciplined person, comes with sacrifice, right? And then sometimes those sacrifice are things that actually not maybe necessarily important, but things that are good for you, right? Because it means you'll have to compromise on your freedom, for example, compromise on your fun. How do you deal with that?
I think that goes together with the way you define things. It matters a lot. So if my definition is not, does not fit what I'm calling fun, in that case, I will be sacrificing a part of fun. But if my definition with what I call fun include that fun, but in a particular way of which I'm looking forward to, in that case, it is fun.
Okay, on this one, you allow me to be very personal. Uh-huh. On a conversation we just had before we start recording. So you're telling me that earlier you were having a conversation, and you're telling me that you've realized that you don't do much of networking for the last few years or months. So all you do is to work, maybe meet people when it comes to work, and then every day you are at home by 7:30, right? And Sunday at home, no, Saturday at home, Sunday at church if you don't have any work, right? So if you, and you believe now that it's very important to network, right? Because you want to grow your business, you want to know where deals are, who is the best investor in town, and then so forth, right? Mm-hmm. So now that's going to be a new habit you create.
True.
Right? So by creating that habit, that's going to impact. It comes with a lot of impact. So the number one impact is your wife. For the last 1 year and a half, she's used to see you at home by 7:30, right? So now you have to create new ways of communicating that, by the way, going forward, or I may not be home by 7:30 three times a week or four times a week. Or I may not be home on Saturdays when usually I'm at home, right? So that is the sacrifice I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So in this particular case, how do you think one should deal with a new habit which definitely will compromise an existing habit?
I would say that back on that one, there have to be reasons for the change, and they have to be really concrete to so that it's understandable even to that part, to whatever part you are meeting on that point to. So what I can say is about on that sacrifice is if you are sacrificing this, what are you gaining? And in that case, see, if the time for spending the family time together is going to reduce, you have to find a way to compensate that in another way.
Yeah. So yes,
because change happen.
Compensation is one thing, right? Mm-hmm. But I want also you to tack on something about communication, right? How are you gonna deal with these situations? Because there will be change at home, mm-hmm. right? What would be the process? What would be your personal process to deal with this situation?
The personal process has to start with an effective communication at first.
Effective communication.
Yes, so that there's nothing shallow. Mm-hmm. That you are making sure you are explaining your point.
Mm-hmm.
Even them, they're explaining your point to you.
Yeah.
That goes with every other change.
So you mean them is your wife?
Yes. She has to forgive me calling her them. So. So my point is not only on the family, the way I operate things by now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong the way I operate things. Mm. And that has given out some comfort,
mm-hmm.
and some disadvantages.
Mm-hmm.
So now through the chance, mm-hmm. and through communicating your point and step by step and compensating all that time with another time. And I should be asking you this because you are actually the busiest person.
I am the one asking questions. Your time will come. So now, you've been living with them, Gloria, your wife, for 1 year and a half, right? And what happens if she says, no, this is not the man I married. The man I married is supposed to be home at 7:30.
What I can say on that is I believe because this thing is just a matter of like theorizing things. So I believe...
Yes, it's theory. I'm making this as a case study, but this might happen.
You know me, what I believe in as an ideal dialogue?
No, I don't know.
No, what the ideal dialogue is if we are talking about one argument, and then I'm not looking at my part, you're not looking at your part, like what benefits you more. We are simply looking at what can benefit us more, us more.
But bro, life always starts with personal benefit. True. I am one of those people who don't believe that common benefit usually always has to start with
the common benefit. What I'm saying here, it is the common benefits of the two, that means me and her.
Yes. But the common benefit has to start with your personal benefit. Because again, if you are at home at 7:30 and you are not happy, right? She actually gained nothing for you to be at home at 7:30. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
True.
Because your heart is somewhere else. You are physically at home, right? Mm. But emotionally, you are not at home. So that's why I'm trying to understand what will be your negotiation factors of explaining that I need to be where I feel like I'm supposed to be.
At first, as you said, let's approach this as a case study.
Mm.
So approaching it, I would say...
Sorry, I made this too personal.
Yes, it's really too personal, and I'm wondering about the comments, you know.
This is how it has to go.
No, what I mean is, I think things take an evolution steps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things evolve.
Yeah.
It's not like you are dropping and then the whole month you disappear,
mm-hmm.
and you're just coming out home to sleep. It's not going to be like that. Mm-hmm. So they have to be the evolving steps. So through those evolutionary steps, day by day, and maybe two times a week, maybe one time a week, maybe something like that. And I believe through that, you just get to find a way to work things together.
Okay. Cool. Final question. So what can you tell the listeners and the viewers as an advice on being a disciplined person?
I'm really starting to think like I should have shaved and then be completely bald like a monk. At least at least people will, and then find an Indian accent, and then they will feel like what I'm saying.
They will feel you, because you are talking about, you are sharing your own experience. So you don't have to share monk's experience.
It's just like the questions are really strange, you know. It's like I'm from Couvain.
But that's how I see you. Zabafred.
French, you know, I have to work on that also. Okay, what I can say to those people whom wants to work on their disciplined life is to find what grounds them, like what can, you know, there is this saying by Viktor Frankl. He says, he said that if we are like, if we cannot find ourselves, like in our own boredom, we tend to look for distractions. Like, you don't find meaning of living, we tend to look for distractions. So, and a lot of things out here, people are selling a lot of things, and some of them we don't even need them, considering that they induce a lot of distractions. But business is business anyway, people has to make a living. But I would say it is to find what works for you, and then also to what gives you peace, mainly. So giving you peace means that you can be still effective and professional, but still have peace, like solving your things in peace.
Yeah.
So what I can say is to find what grounds you, and also how you can fight yourself better. I mean, Fred for today has to be much better from Fred of yesterday. Like, if I sit now and then I look back for the past 4 months, and then I don't call myself stupid at least once, like saying I should have been smart. In that case, I'm not challenging myself.
Mm.
Like, I'm just in a comfort way. So that means I have to look back and then see how really I should have done better, and then I do better.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Fred. This is really appreciative. I think the conversation was very, very useful. I picked a few things. And then maybe I was going to summarize, but I stopped from here. But do you have any question for me?
Yes, a big one.
Okay.
You know, I came in here feeling like you're going to discuss a lot of other things, but I'm ended up being a priest or someone with a particular way of living. And then you said, it's how you see me. And I'm wondering a lot of questions. Why did you choose to ask me about discipline?
Yeah, so when I was thinking about recording this particular topic, to be very frank with you, it's one of the things that has been running in my mind a lot in terms of creating habits. Because I believe that a lot of people want to create a new habit. A lot of people want to be more disciplined than they are, right? So if you speak to someone, I don't know anything, right? I'm sure people who goes home every time drunk, every day when they wake up, they're like, this is not good for me. I need to reduce on my alcohol intake, for example, mm-hmm. right? Or people who lies a lot when they reflect on themselves. There is always a reflection of ourselves, right? Where we always try to fight or create really a better version of ourselves. Mm. And you usually see this a lot at the beginning of the year when everyone is shouting new year, new me, new this and new that. This has been really reflecting a lot in my brain. Even on personal reflection as well, right? As I grew older, wiser, and then changing from fatherhood to parenthood. That's how usually nowadays I say it. I think when I had one kid, I was a father. Now with two kids, I'm a parent. Mm-hmm. I don't know if many people relate, but that's how I feel. Mm-hmm. So that really pushes you to think a lot of things. And you, as I started from the beginning, you are literally one of the very, very few people in my life that I know that are very principled, right? I've told you this, I've told people, I can again say this in public, I would literally bet my head on you because of how I know you, that your principles and all of the things I've been asking you in these conversations. So I could have not really chose a better person to talk about this. Although I push you not to go a lot in metaphors, I really wanted to get all the juices, which I think the audience will enjoy as well.
Sure.
So thank you very much.
Yeah, I thank you for that. That's a big compliment. What I can say, like in summing up all this, like from my end, is it's really hard to talk about your way of doing things, because that may work in your own lane and in your own spectrum of thinking, but it may be way of subject to someone mm-hmm. else's. But since it was me who is invited, not everyone else, so I shared. I may be wrong, but so far it has been working. So what I can say is thank you very much for the invitation.
I mean, the thing is, Fred, there's also not much of your way. There's no such as common way of doing things, right? And the whole reason of having this conversation is that for people to pick what works for them and then what doesn't work for them, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, remember, which is actually what you shared, is by choosing the Fred way, I may realize that I'm trying to be like Fred, right? And then in the process of trying to be like Fred, I find myself. Because it's all about finding yourself, right? And the process of finding yourself could be in different things, could be trying to see what Fred is doing, could be reading a book, etc. So there is one of my favorite books I read, in very few books I've read in my life. It's called Finding Your True North, which talks a lot about how world leaders do things, but how, again, you should put this to yourself, mm-hmm. right? And then find what really, really works for you, not copying someone else's life. So that's really why, okay. That's why we share, right? So okay. We share for people to see what would work for them and then how they should do things on their way as well. Mm-hmm. So yes, but yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope when we call you again to Salon 3, you'll come.
not as a monk.
Well, we might call you as an architect. Yeah, there is a really good project you are working together, so maybe one day we'll talk about that project.
That would be great.
and so many other topics I think me and you can talk about. I know we have so many projects together, so there will be a lot of conversation to share. I guess this is when I tell people, thank you for watching, and please don't forget to subscribe on the channel and share the news. And share the podcast, I mean. But yes, thank you very much. Thank you, Fred, and thank you for everyone that helped us to put this episode up. Nana iswa duhaya mazinikao.